Anna Malkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Caron, Honey Masood, Shereena Ndura, Tay Marie Astudio, and Libby Rainey. Special thanks to Becca Staley and Julie Krause with Juan Gonzalez.
Healthcare open enrollment starts November 1st, and you only have 6 weeks to enroll or renew your coverage. The Affordable Care Act provides free preventive care like flu shots, mammograms, and checkups, but you have to sign up by December 15th. And if you already have coverage, you also have to renew by December 15th. Don't miss your chance to get covered. Financial assistance is available to make your plan affordable, so sign up today. For more information, visit healthcare.gov. Healthcare open enrollment starts November 1st, and you only have 6 weeks to enroll or renew your coverage. The Affordable Care Act provides free preventive care like flu shots, mammograms, and checkups, but you have to sign up by December 15th. And if you already have coverage, you also have to renew by December 15th. Don't miss your chance to get covered. Financial assistance is available to make your plan affordable, so sign up today. For more information, visit healthcare.gov.
Yeah, that's right. I played it twice. I'll play it again because people need to know this. December 15th, that's the deadline. But right now, it's time for Off the Wall. Yes, it's another exciting edition of Off the Wall here on WUSB. Emmanuel Goldstein with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Kyle's in the mood tonight. But holiday cheer aside, we're going to get through this. This is our last live show of the year. Imagine that. I don't know what that means for the weeks ahead, but it means that this is the last show that we will be here. I'm saying that we're here right now when it airs. Meaning that we can take phone calls tonight if you so choose to call us. Phone number 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. And you know what? I'll make a promise to listeners. Instead of waiting until a certain time to open the phone lines, we're gonna let you be as much a part of the show as we are. If the phone starts ringing, we'll answer it. How about that? We'll just stop what we're doing and become a part of the conversation, unless it gets out of hand. But do want to hear from our listeners. I like hearing from our listeners, whether it's by email, otw@2600.com, or by calling 631-632-9872. Of course, we also like to hear from our listeners when they pledge by calling us at 631-632-6901 when we have people in the tally room, which we don't seem to have right now. But you can also make your pledge at wusb.fm. So all kinds of ways to show your support and keep this place going. Boy, a lot of things going on in the world. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to leave out. I don't know what to include. Space, you know, that's where I want to start, space. We didn't mention this last week, but the whole Mars lander thing happened, and we were watching that live, where the latest rover was basically successfully landed on the red planet, and just the happiness and joy inside NASA headquarters when that happened never gets old. Really was incredible and inspiring to see. And landing in a part of the planet that they hadn't been to before, they're going to be drilling and learning about the underground beneath the surface of Mars. Just amazing science. Do you know yesterday? This is what happened yesterday. Yesterday, the Soyuz rocket launched successfully with astronauts, cosmonauts, whatever you want to call them, aboard, and they made it all the way to the space station. That happened yesterday. SpaceX launched a rocket yesterday and landed. You know, landed the reusable rocket. Am I saying it right?
The boosters or whatever.
But I think for the first time, they had used one three times. All right, so that happened. That was a milestone. And this other mission arrived at an asteroid after a 2 billion kilometer journey. That all happened yesterday. I mean, I want to give all the money to space. I want to give it all to these, you know, these geeks that are, you know, getting so happy about these achievements, because they are the real achievements. And it's just, you know, seeing these things on TV when we're able to find them, it gives me hope as opposed to everything else.
Think about how many of those things you listed are really critically or have robotics involved in a critical way. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something to glean from it, is just how far automated landings, automated reentries, and all these different systems working in synchronization from afar, where humans can't really intervene. They just find out if it failed or not. And well, it's really interesting that how we've been able to sort of capture the physics, or at least get the physics down such that we can anticipate and predict outcomes based on our engineering.
But these humans are very involved. I mean, they're, you know, the people in the room. They did something.
I'm not discounting them at all.
The technology is great.
The ability of robotics to do these kinds of things from our capable engineers and all the people behind the scenes, it's an achievement in and of itself.
I have a question, and this goes out to you, NASA, if you're listening. How come there aren't rovers on the moon right now? You know, but we're so good at having rovers everywhere. You know, there's, what, three of them on Mars now? And there's none on the moon. We could be exploring the moon. Do you think there's nothing left to find on the moon? I think there's a lot there. Let's launch one. It's right nearby, so it won't take that long.
We could just send a Zamboni up there and clean it.
Clean the moon, because, you know, we got company coming.
Well, there's a lot of space junk there.
Well, we left a fair share of debris. That's
previous
true.
Missions and stuff.
Here's a story. Speaking of space, there are these people that paid, well, their families paid $2,500 a piece to have their cremated remains shot into space in a memorial by the company Elysium Space. They're San Francisco based. What else? Basically, their ashes were placed aboard the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. I think that's what just launched, actually. Traveling into space will be the remains of military veterans and aerospace enthusiasts, alongside those whose families were looking to celebrate a loved one within the poetry of the starry sky. You know, you realize, and this is something that occasionally just hits me, that, you know, from the dawn of mankind, whenever that may have been, actually from the dawn of every kind, dinosaur era, which dwarfs our brief stay on this earth, everybody, everything has returned to the earth. You know, nobody has died and not returned to the earth. So to have these guys shot into space, you know, that would be an incredible milestone. You know, to actually have remains of someone wind up someplace else or just depart from this earth. And, you know, when I saw this story, that's what I got out of it. Except then I read a little closer, and it's only part of their remains. It's not all of their remains. I'm not sure why they split up people's remains, but some of the remains are going on the rocket, and some of them are not. Okay, fine. But then it's the first time that part of us has left.
But no, you're going to say that it's not able to get out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. So this dust is raining down on us, and we just inhaled it this afternoon.
Well,
or it's the nutmeg I thought I put on my latte.
Yeah, it's not quite that dire. But you are correct. I'm looking for the actual.
The Earth is not losing mass as a result.
Uh-huh.
Because gravity. Because the energy it would take to get the remains of someone far enough away to not be. I'm grasping at straws here. More vamping can I?
No,
I'm not Mariah Carey.
You know, sometimes when you read a story and you print it out, it formats differently and you can't find the part that you wanted to read. Okay. Anyway, here's the story. Families will be able to track the spacecraft in real time through an app as it orbits the Earth for about 4 years before it falls back to Earth. So you see what I'm saying, folks? You can't get away from this place. You wind up right back where you started. So, okay, you know what? You're just giving your loved ones partial ashes a little field trip into the heavens before they smack right back into this planet, which they're trying so desperately to escape from. But, okay, James Doohan. You know who James Doohan is? He played Scotty on Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
He died, and his ashes, I remember this, they were sent to space on a mission similar to this one in 2012. I think what's different about that one, I think that actually landed on the moon. So Scotty actually did make it off the planet, if I'm not mistaken. At least part of him made it off the planet.
Okay.
But one day, people will die in space and they won't come back. And that'll be I want to say a happy day. That'll just be a red letter day. It'll be historic.
Earth will begin losing mass. Human mass.
Well, human mass will start expanding our grasp on other worlds.
That's interesting because we don't really value that. We just have more and more humans.
Oh, Elon Musk, he'll die on Mars probably, right?
So that'll definitely.
Be, I mean, probably within moments of landing.
Yeah.
If he comes with a crew. So
depending on how the ride is.
I'm just, you know, people don't recognize these little milestones in human achievement. And never leaving the Earth, that's, you know, something that we've kind of been wearing that cross for a while. It's not going to last much longer.
No.
So that's your phone. That's the Kyle's ring. That is the most annoying ringtone I think I've ever heard. Does it get your attention there? Okay. He's batting the microphone back to me. That's really cool how that mic's... Look how... It's such a range. All right. And the funny thing is, that's probably spam. I noticed that whenever I get phone calls.
It's a 206 area code.
Yeah, I know. What they do, and folks, you might know this, when you get spam phone calls, very often they fake the caller ID so it looks like it's coming from something local. And Kyle's phone number begins with the 206 area code, so he gets all these spam calls from 206. I get local ones And I said, wow, this person must be down the road, same exchange as me. But no, it can't be. And if you actually pick up the phone, you'll get some kind of scam. And it's gotten to the point where Verizon, even in their caller ID, puts the word spam in it now. So they're kind of warning you. They're kind of telling you that, this isn't quite kosher, so don't pick up the phone.
People don't pick up phones at all as a result of spam. I mean, it's become such an annoyance, I think. Most calls are rejected because people think it's something like that.
Or our social engineer attempts. Yes. We learned this at the Hope Conference. People don't pick up the phone because they think we're calling them, and that's why we get all the voicemails now. So, yeah, it's gotten a lot...
An era of heavy screening.
Or just ignoring. A lot of ignoring going on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's go to some local stories. We're going to go to some national, international. We've been outside the planet, so that's a good start. But did you know that there's a Walmart in Comac? I'm still boycotting Comac because of the hatred there with, I guess, migrant kids in the church from the neighborhood. You know, you thought I forgot about that? No, I didn't. So you won't find me at the Comac Walmart. You won't find me in Comac. You won't find me in Walmart. So that's like doubly so right there. But there was a panic at our local Walmart, only a few miles away, because that's what happens in Walmart. There was an incident that occurred over the busy holiday shopping weekend where there was a fight and a panic because people thought there was a gun involved, and that's kind of unusual around here. And now it turns out that the whole thing might have been staged because when you go to Walmart, you just bring the stupid with you, whatever means you can. Suffolk Police Chief. This is a weird way of phrasing. Suffolk Police Chief of Department? Why would you call yourself that? I think Newsday might have just gotten the story completely. The Suffolk Police Chief. How about that?
Or Chief of Police?
Yeah, Suffolk Police Chief of Department. Whatever. Stuart Cameron.
Or Department Chief.
Stuart, what is your position? What?
Suffolk Police Department Chief. That sounds right.
But they might have just sort of rephrased it for some reason.
I don't know. They take themselves so seriously they can't even figure out it's so serious.
Assistant to the director or assistant? I don't know. But anyway, Stuart Cameron, he said the incident that occurred was sparked either by a dispute between a shopper and a cashier or by a group of men filming a staged fight. He says, I want to find out if this was intentional. We can't have people causing panic like this. I'm very concerned about this. If somebody did this intentionally, I want to find out who did it, and I want them to face consequences. Spoken like a true police chief of department. Suffolk police and other first responders responded, which is what responders should do.
Wow.
Boy, Newsday, you need some copy editors. Seriously. I know all the people criticize you for these things, but come on.
They're writing for the second grade level.
First responders responded?
The first responders responded. Yeah, that's like a second grader.
And they got there first, too.
And then they got there first. And then...
They came to the Walmart on Crooked Hill Road, which is a great name for a road, after receiving 911 calls or 911 calls, your choice, about an active shooter in the store just before 1 p.m. on Sunday. Investigators determined that no shots had been fired. Instead, they learned that three men had been seen filming two others, staging a fight in which one appeared to slap the other. One man screamed, "There is a gun," according to a police statement. That's just what you want to scream in a crowded Walmart. Yeah. Or a non-crowded Walmart. Police are also looking into reports that shoppers may have called 911 after hearing a customer who had been involved in an argument with a cashier say that he was going to get his gun. Okay, you know, Walmart shoppers, get your story straight. How many different versions of this are there? So that's the fun that we're having in our local Walmarts. We're trying. We're trying to keep up. We really are. Meanwhile, in Northport, get this, officials in the Northport, East Northport School District have voted against placing armed security guards in school buildings. That's right. According to a letter posted on the district's website, the Board of Education voted this week against the measure to place armed guards in buildings and that, quote, this decision was not a rush judgment. It was made after months of careful, thoughtful deliberation, research, and discussion with professionals from a variety of fields. The district has 9 schools, about 5,000 students, and basically the board interviewed members of law enforcement, and they also focused on social, emotional programs, interventions that are being implemented throughout the district. School officials said the board considered many factors in making this decision and made it following months of careful, thoughtful deliberation, research, and discussion with professionals from a variety of fields. Now, that is something that has been contested in many places, including right here on Long Island, where some districts, Massapequa, Hauppauge, Miller Place, they approve plans to add armed security guards to their campuses. But Northport, East Northport, decided to be a little bit more rational about it. And bravo to them for doing so. You know, just the specter of armed guards in the school, let alone armed teachers, is something I just can't get my head around, having gone to school in this area and just, you know, living through it, knowing what happens in schools, knowing about conflicts between students, between teachers, just how this world is right now. It just seems that school is the kind of place you don't want to introduce that kind of thing. So I'm glad people are looking at it this way.
As if they are not already enough like prison.
Yeah, you know, when I went to, I don't want to keep going back to when I went to school, but when I went to school, you could enter and exit through any door you wanted, and we had a lot of doors.
Right.
And now, like you said, it's like a prison. You know, many schools have metal
They're
detectors.
They're already made out of cinder blocks.
Yeah, school's prison enough without having to make it physically like that as well. So if there is a problem with violence and guns, that is what you tackle. You don't accommodate things that you hold dear to accommodate the spread of weapons and violence in the system. No, you tackle that. That's just common sense. And, you know, the students, such as, in Florida, they teach us this. Listen to them. Listen to what they have to say, because they're the ones living it. Here's another story about schools in Connecticut. Do you know that there's a ban on parents coming to see their kids at lunchtime at Connecticut schools, and it's causing a big furor? Apparently, they've been doing this for a while. You go to school, and then at lunchtime, there are your parents to have lunch with you in school. That's what they're doing in Connecticut. And finally, the district said enough already. You know, we have all these parents coming over, and they're basically dictating rules and getting into conflicts of all sorts. When did this start happening? When did parents start joining their kids in school in the middle of the day? You know, you can't get through a whole day anymore?
My only thing I can think of from memory was instances where you got permission to go home for lunch. We were able to do that when I was in elementary school because I lived very, very close to the elementary school. I also walked, which was unusual. And is very unusual now. I think unless you live like across the street, your parents wouldn't dare let you not be chauffeured down the driveway and then, you know, delivered onto the bus wrapped in shrink wrap or whatever. I don't know how they do it now, but it's like you have armed guards to get you to the bus stop. And anyway, yeah, I walked to school and I would walk home and go have lunch with my mom or my dad if they were around.
It's crazy because, yeah, you see that, you know, when you're driving around, you see parents waiting for their kids to come home. And, you know, and not just the little kids, but elementary school, junior high school. And, you know, nobody did that for us. We got off the damn bus ourselves and walked home.
I think my mom, I think because of PTA, I think she graded papers once in a class of mine. Or I think parents would rotate in and help some of the teachers every now and then through the PTA.
But. Wow.
That's the most I think they would ever show up. Well, if your parents showed up in class or on campus, you know, it was usually something was up.
Yeah, that's right.
And it just seems like this is built in for the helicopter sort of hover parents to micromanage their children's already perhaps low morale in school.
This is not healthy. This is wrong. Let me buy this story here. One mother shed tears when she read the superintendent's announcement. Another said it felt like a body blow. After struggling with growing numbers of parents in school cafeterias, the Darien school system said parents and guardians would no longer be welcome to visit with their children during lunch at the town's elementary schools. The decision has stirred strong emotions in Darien, a wealthy shoreline community that prides itself on its high-performing public schools. While some parents said it was time to stop a disruptive practice, others have protested at town meetings and in online forums that the change has deprived them of cherished time to check in on their children and model good social behavior. You know what? You do that when they're home. Why are you following them to school? Leave them alone. For God's sake, this is their only chance to get away from you for a little while.
I think the parents are mules bringing in candy and stuff. Oh. They're helping break the rules on campus.
It feels like a punch in the gut. Parent Jessica Zhu, whose oldest child is in first grade, said in an interview, I chose the town for the schools. I'm so frustrated the schools don't want me there. Well, you know what? If Jessica, the schools don't want me there either. Okay, I can't just barge into an elementary school because I want to hang out with some kids. No, it doesn't work that way. And yeah, I know they're your kids, but they're in school. They're in school now. That's their time. They don't decide to drop in on you at your job, right? You'd be disturbed if they did that. And so, you know, give them some time. Let them learn. Let them, you know, socialize. Not be so dependent.
Yeah, that is, I think parents and teachers might agree that that's a time in life where you are conditioning maybe from being so attached to your family unit. You know, you go to school in part to learn and get an education, but also to become socialized and have a kind of an early sense of independence. And the same thing with like going on exchange trips or going to summer camp. You know, these are points in your life where you break away from the family unit and get a sense, a better point of reference of, like, you know, what your identity, who you are, and how you get on your own. And just delaying that onset, I think, seems like it's not as beneficial for the students. It probably makes parents feel great. I mean, parents want to know everything that's going on.
But they're obsessed. They have to know every single moment where their kid is and what they're doing and who they're talking to. And your kid's not going to turn out healthy if you're constantly hovering over them and monitoring everything they do and guiding them.
Their whole social life, yeah, that could be, I think, any teenager would tell you that their parents knowing every friend they have is not necessarily awesome.
But it's
as good for parents to be away, I guess, is what we're saying. They need to be, let go a little in the same process.
The healthiest kids are the ones that are striking out on their own. I'm not saying, you know, going down a railroad track with a knapsack. No, I'm saying, you know, kids who basically make their own decisions as to who they're going to be friends with and what their opinions are on certain things. And just, you know, being fully self-expressed, as you say, you know, those are the individuals, not the ones that are constantly looking to mommy and daddy for permission or, you know, approval. And as every moment is being monitored, it's not healthy.
Also, I think even young people have like different personas. Like your persona at home maybe is a little bit different than who you are with your friends because you're trying things out, you know, trying out who you're being and how to express yourself among peers and in those groups. You wouldn't necessarily want your folks, you know, involved in every conversation you have on the playground and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a time to not be, so controlled.
I mean, how do you have a relationship with, a teacher if you know that your mother or father is going to be there to, speak for you? You're going to be so dependent on them, you won't be able to speak for yourself. And sometimes what you want to say is going to be different from what your parents want to say. So you need to learn that. School is the environment for this.
So is this policy that sort of only thing that in the country? Is this sort of a something that happens in districts all around the country? Is there any like information about this sort of practice?
I think
it's a little unusual.
I think it's an anomaly. They say... Yeah. Elementary schools generally set their own rules for parent visits, and policies vary widely. Some allow it on children's birthdays or other special occasions. Okay, I can see that. You know, maybe. Even that is a stretch for me. In some areas, districts say it's not an issue because parents do not or cannot visit because of work or other obligations. Okay. Yeah, you wonder, where are these parents have other things to do during the day? Now, in Darien, it's a town of colonial-style homes behind stone fences where the median household income exceeds $200,000. Man, these are rich people.
Okay, so this is a lot of...
Wow. This is privileged city.
Stay-at-home parents that have a lot of time on their hands.
Well, how are they getting $200,000 plus if they're staying at home? What are they doing? Oh, I know what they're doing.
It's a whole different issue.
Oh. So many parents had begun attending lunch that principals felt they were affecting the day-to-day running of the elementary schools.
Yeah, if you have more parents in your cafeteria than students, you might be hemorrhaging meals, parents are getting free kids' lunches.
They said Wine Wednesday was the last straw.
Wine Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah. Parents would not leave. They got belligerent.
Yeah, yeah, they're bringing their brown bags of, oh, gosh.
Yeah, we believe that the schools exist for children, said the superintendent in a very controversial statement. And
yeah,
we work to develop the skills necessary for students to grow into engaged members of society.
Not creepy parents that come to their kids' school.
Wow. Yeah, but Terry Stedman, a parent, told the board she was shocked and driven to tears by the news to just ban parents from the lunchroom, which is effectively what you're doing with this email. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's in the spirit of a collaborative environment. You know what, Terry? I agree. You shouldn't be banned from the lunchroom. You should be banned from the whole damn campus. Stay away. Protective order. If you have a kid in this school, we don't want you here because they're ours now for this period of time. Until 3 o'clock or whenever we let them out, that's when they become yours again. And none of this homeschooling nonsense. What's up with homeschooling? How does that work exactly? Because that didn't exist either when I was a kid.
You get, like, a curriculum.
But do you have to be qualified in any way?
No.
How is that possibly a thing?
You get, I guess, accredited materials. I'm sure some callers who were very well-adjusted adults will call in and tell us how it works and how successful they were at it, but...
Yeah, but they don't know any different.
I'll give you the cynical rundown, though. I'm sure you get accredited materials in all these different subject areas, and then an adult or some kind of proctor, tutor of sorts, goes through the materials at different stages in the year, and you complete the coursework and then are tested through the same materials that are accredited, and then by passing whatever test that signifies you advancing to the next stage of that as
what
you
happens
would in a class.
If you don't pass
year.
The test, you're left behind and you're still in your damn house.
Well,
so
you don't
what
pass,
happens?
You don't pass and you have to redo parts of it. Depends on how accelerated or where you fit in. There might be multiple styles of homeschooling too, even just within parameters of homeschooling in general. But you know, the different Montessori schools and all these different types of learning, they probably have a wide array of things you can choose from, including, like, you know...
What did all these you know, people who are teachers go to school for? If anybody can just do it and be accepted, you know? Teaching kids takes a lot of training, takes a lot of patience. And just like you don't want your parents teaching you how to drive because you'll learn all kinds of bad habits that way, you don't want your parents being the ones to teach you in school because they're not teachers. You know, they're parents. It's a different role. Think of the most irresponsible or even responsible parent, you know, when you were growing up. Thinking of your own, that's just too much to take in. But that's not somebody that that would probably be able to do a good job unless they actually had some field of study. They knew how to not only teach the material, but how to reach kids. That is a skill. That is an incredible skill. And a lot of teachers don't have it. But just to say, yeah, you can have your kid at home and teach them, and it's just as good. No, it's not. When did this start happening?
Yeah, I think both homeschooling and charter schools are really dismissive of the educational system in general, broadly speaking. And I'm wholly against both charter schools. And I think homeschooling, too. Homeschooling, perhaps to a lesser extent, depending on the context. And I think that's sort of a case-by-case thing. And who am I to judge? I mean, if it works in a certain situation for some family, fine. But I think the education system in general does not have the kind of support and bolstering it ought to have, and that's where you start, because that's going to affect the most amount of future employees and business leaders and all the kinds of citizens you expect those systems to churn out. And so we need to focus efforts there, but I think the charter system's a distraction and a joke, and they also and has other foibles, including religious, and then the homeschooling itself. I think it's very dismissive, and also doesn't really benefit you in the ways we mentioned in terms of socialization. I'm sure there's mixers for homeschooling, you know, groups and ways to you know, have a proper junior prom or whatever
with your homeschool friends or at a high school or something like that, but it's not the same. It's not the same experience.
The thing is, school is supposed, and a lot of people in college don't seem to get this either, because they, you know, and it's not true of, I think, the majority, but an increasing number of people seem to feel that everything has to be safe. All the ideas can't be controversial. And that if you feel in any way challenged, that's bad. No, that's good. You should be challenged, and it should start early. When you're in elementary school, you need to have your conception of the world questioned and challenged, and you need to be asking questions and challenging as much as possible. That's what it's all about. That's how you learn. And if you're in your own home environment, you're not going to learn outside that box. You're not going to be challenged. Your religion is going to be the only religion. Your, you know, philosophy on life is going to be the only one acceptable. And you'll never be able to open up to other ways of life, other types of people. And when you grow up, you're going to be bigoted, closed-minded, and insulated. And that's not a way to be. And whether it's, you know, whether you're on the left or the right, it's just as unhealthy. So, you know.
And also, I think I've benefited. You know, if you are challenged and you go through that, I feel like I'm a better debater. I have a more developed critical thinking process as a result of having been challenged in those environments, and how many conservative opinions, shall I say, did I wade through, or whatever, you know, crud I didn't really want to hear, but I had to, and that set me in forming the opinions that I carry to this day. You in the same, I think, in the same vein, have been around people with different ideas, and that helps you develop and stand by your argument, right? And how you have developed certain opinions and where you're coming from, so to speak.
And, you know, just like what we were talking about with you know, violence in the system. What happened in Northport, East Northport, where they opted not to have armed guards. Basically, you have to attack the problems in the institution itself, if there are problems, rather than shaping the world to preserve the problems. So if we're talking about a school where people are afraid to go to the school, and that's why they're getting homeschooled instead, because there's just, you know, too much unpleasantness at the school, that is what you have to attack. You don't just withdraw and make your own little safe bubbles and have everybody staying away from the place that you're supposed to be going to in the first place. You fix that. You attack that. You recognize there's a problem there. And we're not doing that. We're just saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's a dangerous society. Everyone's got guns, so you got to get guns, too. And maybe you should stay away from church now because it's violent. And no, you say, this is wrong. There's a huge problem here. We need to fix this, or, you know, we're going to destroy ourselves. And we're not saying that enough. That's a serious, serious problem.
Yeah. Yeah, and challenge concepts of different ways of being and identities and so on and so forth, and teach better. Teach that these are problems that that need attention, and that we got to look out for one another instead of retracting and trying to sort of hide and wait it out. It's not going to go away if you don't actually open up the issues and talk about them.
Speaking of which, listeners, if you want to join in the conversation, the phone lines are open, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WESB. Were you homeschooled? Are you homeschooled? Do you have fond memories of your education or horrors? Join the conversation, and we'll be moving into other subjects as well. But
do you have armed guards at your homeschool?
Do you have armed guards in your home? Getting to that point.
Is it safer that your homeschool is 24/7 surrounded by armed security officers?
I can't imagine the hell that having your home be your school would be, because then school never ends. You know,
it's like, yeah. What kind of homework do you get?
It's like being your own boss. That's no hell like that. Trust me, because you can never get away.
Yeah,
and you never like the boss. So having school in your home, no, you're mixing worlds. You're definitely going into some dark places. So anyway, what else? What else has been going on in the world? Well, you know, a lot of talk about Brexit lately. They're now talking about possibly having a second referendum at last. You know, from the very beginning, when they did this a couple of years ago, we've been saying that, you know, why don't you ask the people, are you sure about this? Because, you know, whenever you delete files on your computer, if you delete everything, they always ask, are you sure, yes or no? And when you have a situation like this where you're basically divorcing yourself from this union that you've been a part of, that you're a vital part of, and that has become a vital part of you, well, you know, once you understand what it is you're actually doing, you sure you want to go through with this? Well, now, after dealing with the realities of the situation, realizing how complicated this is and how it could actually wind up hurting, I think it's time to ask the question again. Now, a lot of people have been saying, including labor leaders and conservative leaders, that that's off the table, that we're not going to do that, the people have spoken. The people spoke, but under false pretenses. They weren't given all the facts. They were misled in many ways. And after a couple of years of dealing with this divorce, they now realize that it's not going to be as simple as they thought. Maybe it's a good time to ask them again. This latest agreement that Theresa May is bringing to the table, you're watching some debates on that a couple of weeks ago, and it's not popular. And it's going to come up for vote, I think, on the 11th of December, in about a week or so. So that's going to be a fiery time in England. And at that point, it's very likely it's not going to be passed by Parliament. It's very likely that there's going to be some stiff opposition to this. What happens at that point? Because according to Theresa May, if we don't accept this deal, there is no other deal. And so no deal would be real hell, economic hell and social hell. It's funny, when she was talking about this in Parliament, she basically said, you know, the choices are no deal, no Brexit. And when she said no Brexit, there was this vast cheering that suddenly happened that she was not expecting, because people are open to the idea of just canceling this whole thing and saying, no, this is a bad idea. Let's stop this madness. Something I hope one day we will say here, because we don't seem to be saying it enough. There are certainly people who say it, but there aren't people who say it enough, and the madness continues. But they have a chance. They have a chance to actually reconsider what they're doing. Now, when she loses this vote, and she will lose this vote, what is she going to do? Is she going to say, well, let's talk about it some more, and let's have another vote on the agreement? No, Theresa, that's not right. I mean, by your own words, the people have spoken. The people in Parliament say no to your agreement. Well, that's it. You can't do it again. And if you want to do it again, if you want to have another vote, if you want to reshape it a little bit and bring it to them a second time, well, you should do the same damn thing to Brexit for all the people. So have the second referendum. And then if people still embrace this after seeing the hell they can be going through, okay, then you got your mandate. Then people definitely want to go down this road. But I suspect, you know, especially seeing how after the first vote people were looking up on Google, what is Brexit, when they were in England, I don't think people really knew what they were getting into. And it would be nice just to see. We see all the insanity throughout the world of all kinds of populist movements, you know, erupting and causing mayhem. It would be nice to see some course correction, because we haven't been seeing a whole lot of that lately.
I mean, I don't agree. I think they should get what they want, you know. They wanted Brexit, so let them have it.
Uh-huh.
I want to see way more mayhem, and I just am not as hopeful that, or I just don't feel like it's as deserved.
They want the mayhem.
Yeah, I mean, they made this racist, like, appeal to have British exceptionalism in rejecting what all the EU involved, and yeah, I mean, oh, now it's not looking like a good idea. Well, you should have thought that through. Obviously, they didn't, and yeah, they get what they get. Same thing with this country. I mean, I'm so empathetic, I feel all of your plight, everyone in America. But hey, guess what? This is what you voted for. This is what you get. Okay, is it lousy? Do something about it next time. But
I want the next time.
I don't think the UK should get endless redos and revotes. If they wanted it, they should get it. And you know what? When they realize the mistake it was,
and they come crawling back to the EU, then I guess the EU gets to set some terms. But I think Britain should be punished a bit for this kind of belligerent, racist, you know, anti-immigrant policy that they towed their, you know, towed their platform or hitched their platform to. You know, it is a rotten, rotten deal, and they deserve it.
Well, look, I don't think we can categorize everybody who is for Brexit as being racist or anti-immigrant. I know you can still be part of the EU and be racist and anti-immigrant, because I see indications of that
the
time.
Oh, sure. Fine.
But, and also, there are a lot of things wrong with the EU as well, and there are some things that are unfair, some issues of who has the right to determine what, and
they thought they had it all figured out.
It's just, you know, you are better off, and you have to realize you're better off in a union with other countries in your area than to be opposed. It hasn't worked out well in the past to be independent and opposed to those around you. Independence to a degree works, but when you know you break up unions, that I don't see that going to a good place. I really don't. So, yeah, there has to be compromise. There has to be change. But, you know, if you're part of the union, you have a lot more of a say in that than if you're not part of the union. So I hope common sense prevails. And, you know, I think they decide if they're going to get another referendum. Nobody else decides that. And they have the ability to do just this. I just think I see the tide finally moving a little bit in that direction, because people realize, hey, you know what? This is a possibility. We've seen where this is going to take us. Let's reconsider. What's wrong with that? You know? I wish we did the same damn thing here.
Yeah. I mean, they just ought to realize and recognize what they're walking away from in entirety. And I hope the European Union emphasizes that as much as possible.
If we had a referendum right now in this country, just where everybody's vote counted as a person, and it wasn't, you know, based on acreage, because that's what our country is based on. You know, with the Electoral College and gerrymandering and all kinds of horrible things like that, it's not one person, one vote. Your vote counts more in certain places, certain people, their vote counts more. This is a system that is broken. But if we all voted again, you know, do we want to go down this road? We would say, no, we don't want to go down this road. The numbers are already there. There are so many more people voting for the opposition. I mean, Hillary Clinton won by millions. There were 9 million more Democratic voters in the last election than Republican voters. There are all kinds of ways of showing what direction the country should be heading in. But through trickery, through all kinds of shenanigans, somehow we keep going down a particular road. And, you know, the system is being abused. And you know, we seem to think that there's nothing we can do about it. In France, they raise the fuel prices, and there's riots in the street for weeks. You know, if they move the retirement age up, you know, a year, and they say they're going to do that in 5 years, more riots in the street. People react. You know what? If they do a telephone call-in show in France, people call in. In this country, we just take it. We just sit back. We don't do anything. Yeah, I'm talking to you, listeners. Because it's disappointing to see no participation.
I just can't be bothered with more belly aching about Britain and their all their demands for leaving the EU.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not as sympathetic, even perhaps more sympathetic to foolish Trump voters, right, than I am to Britain leaving the EU. They wanted it so damn bad, then you know, leave.
But they didn't want it, so that's what I'm trying to point out. They were misled. Certain promises were made that were certainly not true. Things about health care and all that. They were misled, and also people didn't realize that this had any chance of going through. So a lot less people voted than would have.
And all those people need to be in the streets, too, just as you're saying, you know, people should be perturbed here. But, as you said, we have different cultural concepts of discomfort and what to do when you're uncomfortable with the system that you're operating in. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's
yeah. We see all these abuses of power in the system right now. It's continuing even after the election. We talked about this a little bit last week, but two Midwestern states, Michigan, Wisconsin, they have new Democratic governors, and guess what? The state lawmakers are moving to reduce their powers so that they don't have the power that the predecessor had. Wisconsin state lawmakers were met with an emergency protest yesterday at the state capitol ahead of a vote to wrestle power away from Democrat Tony Evers, who defeated GOP Governor Scott Walker in last month's midterm election. Republicans have also targeted the state's incoming Democratic Attorney General, who campaigned on removing Wisconsin from a lawsuit filed by red states against the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, the voters have voted for these things, and the Republicans are trying to take away their voice. And this is the time to stand up and be heard. Otherwise, it's going to keep happening. You know, they tried this in North Carolina. There's rampant voter fraud now being investigated in North Carolina from the top down. You know, and that's why their election is not being certified, because they don't know who won. Right now, it's everything is put in place to benefit the Republican candidates. And it's not adding up. This is happening throughout the country, Minnesota, everywhere. And it's time people stand up and get outraged by this, because it doesn't get any more real than when they take away your vote. They take away, you know, the voice of the people. And it's, you know, between this and gerrymandering, where somehow, even though more votes go to a particular party, that party has less of a voice. It's not right. You have to realize the system is broken at points like that. And if we say nothing, if we sit back, it'll keep happening. And guess what? In France, they got rid of the fuel hike. Now, first of all, you know, I don't know how big a deal that actually was, but the lesson to be learned there is that if you're impassioned about something, if you get loud and abrasive and you know what you're fighting for, people are forced to listen. And sometimes you have to do that.
You know why they were the yellow jackets? Because the law required them to wear those jackets, or to have those jackets in their cars at all times or something.
That's the law, really?
The high visibility, yeah, the yellow jackets that they were all wearing.
I mean, everybody who drives a car in France has to have a yellow jacket.
I'm not sure if it was average drivers or people who worked in sort of service or other kinds of transportation jobs,
uh-huh,
like truckers or whatever. But there's a law, and it is a euphemism, I think, for regulation and control and so on and so forth. But there's other attributes of that protests that I think have had some nationalistic undertones. I don't know all about that. I don't know all about Brexit either, so, you know, I'm not one to comment. But,
well, folks, you're one to comment, and we haven't had a single call the entire hour.
Yeah,
and that's very disappointing. Last time this happened, we discovered the phone was unplugged, but this time I think it is plugged in. So you got 2 minutes, and then we're off for the rest of the year. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Say what's on your mind. Express yourself. You have that right. You have that ability. I would take advantage of it. You know, it's important.
Stop drinking eggnog.
And when I say we're off, it doesn't mean we're not going to be on the air. We just won't be live. We'll be on in one form or another. But the phone number, 631-632-WUSB, in another 2 minutes, we're going to have to leave, because Finn is on his way up here, and he's going to be driving the ship for another couple of hours.
I think he's landing by gyrocopter today.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Wow.
The ultralight plane is being worked on, so the gyrocopter is what he's taking today.
Wow, that's okay. That's
latest, on the roof.
The latest film we saw, it happened one night from 1934.
Yeah.
We're going up year by year, seeing all the Academy Award-winning pictures, and there was a gyroscope. A gyroscope?
Gyrocopter.
Yeah, there was a gyrocopter scene.
The love interest or love triangles, foil or whatever, he lands in some social context.
If you see that film, though, there's something very wrong with it, because that same character that lands appears in the scene right before it. So he's already there, and then somehow he's not there, and then he has to land again. I don't know how Frank Capra made that picture. How did they miss that? It's a very big scene.
Continuity, people. Continuity.
Yeah. And you know, going on IMDb and looking at reviews of everything from TV episodes to movies, you see how much continuity is missed.
Uh-huh.
So you don't feel so bad about your own life when you realize how much people screw up in films. Okay, well, you know, another 30 seconds. I guess no one's listening. No one
Way
cares.
To go.
Well, it makes me feel like, what's the point? And that's contagious. And I think that's what's drummed into us all the time, that people don't care. It's not true. I know people care, but it seems like the same people are the ones who care, and a lot of us are just making do.
This exemplifies the abundance of apathy.
Maybe we can make a resolution for 2019 and say,
we're going to give a damn.
Yeah. You know what? I will make that phone call. I will pick up the phone and call Kyle and Emmanuel and say what's on my mind. Because, damn it, what I say matters. Wouldn't that be nice? But in the meantime, what you can do to ward off all the guilt is to email us with your thoughts. You can email us anonymously. Nobody will know. OTW@2600.com. We'd like to hear from you, no matter what you have to say. We always like to hear from our listeners. And, yeah, look at that. See, now the calls come in. We're signing off now, folks. We've been saying this the whole hour. Why do people do this? They call it the last possible. I'm not picking up the phone. No, I'm sorry. I can't do it now.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Had your chance.
You know, I think they do this to drive us crazy. I think that's what happens.
No, they don't have a chance.
We're out of time. Again, write to us, OTW@2600.com. Support the radio station, WUSB.FM. Have a good holiday season. We will see you in some forum next week. Good night.
Yeah.